How was that growing up, having Nick Cage as a father?
Well, he's just always been a profound father. Our connection has been very powerful, always. We would connect on philosophy and mysticism, psychology, all kinds of stuff, science, you know, astronomy, acting, I mean, art, mostly philosophy. My fiance actually has a degree in philosophy, as well as her artistic certifications and stuff. But, you know, my dad and I would always, sometimes we would improv together. We would just create together, do a scene together. If we had like a 2 or 3 hour drive, we just improv together. And he was always realistic with me. He told me that when that day does come, when I start working and stuff, I'll notice that I might have to work 3 times harder than I thought I would have to, or maybe 10 times harder than my friends, because I'm coming into this and people have preconceived notions or beliefs. And I'm going to have to, be it positive or negative, I'm going to have to really show that I'm my own entity. So I got that picture very quick when I started dealing with abuse from acting instructors, when I go to acting school and stuff. That never happened in Stella Adler, which is my method. I do Stella Adler style acting, and the style that my dad has mentioned, and kind of my own style. I think everyone develops their own style. Everyone's a book. You know, you develop your own style throughout life, and whether you immortalize it by making a book about it or not. I'm working on a book, but my dad and I would always practice together our craft, and Stella Adler taught me a lot about, you know, the relaxation they get into with the imagination. I mean, I, of course, have implemented some stuff I've learned from hypnotism, which I'm into, psychology. You know, I make audios that are hypnotic for people, and I do that for myself. You know, I've made my own audios to develop a character or to program myself to be a certain way or something. I think that, and also my father is one of those individuals that's just infinitely intelligent. He's like my grandpa, August. I mean, that man was so intelligent that people described sometimes it was almost like scary for them, because he was like an encyclopedia. He knew everything. And I tried it with him when my grandpa was still alive, asking him a question that maybe someone couldn't answer. He really did know the specific eternal answer to that. I was like, what the? It was fascinating. But he invented this thing in it's called the tactile dome. People can go see it in San Francisco, the tactile dome. It's just, I think it's at the observatory or something. Something like that. But it's a sensory deprivation area that raises the IQ and stuff. It's fascinating.
You said the tactile dome here. Let's see here. Let's look it up. Where was it at?
San Francisco, made by Dr. August Coppola. My grandpa was a doctor at 21. He really took academia seriously.
Is it this one here?
Yes, that's the one.
So this is for what you said, it's a sensory deprivation?
Yeah, and my apologies. I said at the observatory, that's Los Angeles. This is the Exploratorium in San Francisco. So when you go inside there, it's completely tactile. It's giving you a connection to your haptic sensory. So it's all based off touch. The lights go off and you have to find your way out of the kind of maze. And what it does is it stimulates your other senses, being our hearing, of course, and our touch sensory, and maybe some other ones that we don't know about yet. But it's pretty fascinating. I mean, he wrote a lot of books, and you know, even my uncle Francis, my father, we all say how much he's inspired every one of us. And we're all emulating kind of a spark that came from him.
That could be kind of intimidating, right? Those are big shoes to fill.
Very big shoes. And he's a very, you know, every time I work with energy healers or the real true clairvoyance, I know there's a lot of people out there that aren't, but there really are the ones that are real. They see how close we are. We still raise the glass on February 16th because he doesn't feel dead at all, which is interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. And I saw that your father said that he wasn't going to stop acting, right, anytime soon. So Hopefully he does. And I just finished watching Dream Scenario, and I loved every second of it. It was an amazing, amazing movie.
Yeah.
And I just loved how dynamic Nick Cage is, right? And how versatile he is,
He has
right?
a lot of different layers, and like I've always said, he's 1,000 years ahead of his time, the where he's thinking mentally with some of these things. And we're both very into what we were talking about earlier about how some of the first actors were shamans. For me, art, there's certain words that show that shows itself with its prefix, its seed, and the branches that that word becomes, with its origins, like the word art itself being in the word articulation, the first three letters of articulation. So to me, it's like art is the highest form of communication. And my dad's really into the message behind his characters, and so am I. I don't want to play characters that I don't resonate with or understand in some way. There's a character I had to play recently that's a kind of a hybridization of two people that really existed. And that person's someone I do not connect with at all, but I wanted to play that dark of a character. It's a movie I did with my fiance with Mel Gibson and 50 Cent. That movie will make a lot of people, especially young ladies, be extra careful in the world. There's some predator evil individuals that are very frightening. And I've seen some pretty dark individuals. Like I've seen insanity, with where what I grew up, and I've seen some scary folks out there. So I was able to pull from some memories of mine, and hopefully this character will make people more circumspect and careful. And that's whenever I play a villain, I want to show with that villain's dark side something so dark that maybe it's not appealing. People don't find it cool at all, and they want to stay away from that.